Welcome to Countryside Bible Church and to our worship this evening. It's so good to have you here. I'm so glad you were able to come and enjoy our baptism service together. As I mentioned this morning, this is always a great highlight for me, and I know it is for those of you who have been before. Let me say a special welcome to those who may be our guests tonight. If this is your first time at Countryside, we're so glad you've come. And I hope you will be encouraged as well by the testimonies that you hear. On every Sunday night, we meet and we sing wonderful music, as you've heard tonight. And normally, we open the Word of God together and study His Word. But tonight's a special treat because we get to hear from folks who have come to profess publicly their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, just to remind you what baptism is and is not, it is a command given to our Lord for all time and in all places, according to the Great Commission. He said that we were to go through all the nations of the world and make disciples. And having made disciples, that is, having someone come to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior, then we are to baptize them. The word baptize is really a Greek word just carried over into English. The word baptizo simply means to immerse, to put under the water. And He said, I want you to immerse them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because it is a testimony to what has already happened. It's a testimony of the fact that the person being baptized has already come to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. This is a public confession that Jesus Christ is my Lord. But there's a picture as well. And the picture is as the person goes under the water, it reminds us that the person who used to be has died. The old life before Christ, the person who loved sin has died as Christ died. And a new person, a new creation has arisen in Christ. And now with new desires and new interests and new loves and new hatreds for the things that God hates. And so it's a beautiful picture, both a public confession as well as a magnificent picture of a person who has already, before they come to this baptism, they have already committed themselves to follow Jesus Christ. They have already been saved from their sins. They've already been forgiven. This is merely a public confession of that reality and a beautiful picture of what God has already done in their lives. I hope you'll pray for them as they come to share their testimonies this evening. And maybe one or more of them will really stick in your mind and heart. And I encourage you in the days and weeks ahead to pray for them for their continued progress in the faith.
Hi, good evening. My name is Eric Leist. I grew up in a non-believing household. That was really, at times, kind of harsh and mocking to people of faith, and no doubt that I participated on many circumstances and many times. But despite this, there was always something that seemed to be absent from my life that caused me great insecurity, which for years manifested itself in harsh and an unkind attitude towards others. And it wasn't until college, until a friend of mine helped me come to realize that there was an alternative to the way that I'd been living my life. We had discussions about Christ, His goodness, His atoning sacrifice, and, well, I was in college, and that was all well and good to me, but what did it really mean? But the tipping point came in a really unexpected way. A group of us were going to hang out one evening, and I gave her a call because we were going to figure out where to go, and the phone, she didn't answer the phone. The phone picked up in her purse, so I overheard the conversation that she was having, and it was about me, and it wasn't very good, and the things that I was hearing were a lot of the things that I was trying to turn from and trying to fix on my own, and, well, Lord knows that that's something that, well, I just don't have the power to do, and I heard that, and I knew that I needed a Savior, and I realized that without putting my faith in Christ, I was doomed to a life, and more so, an eternity of suffering. I'm a slave to sin with no hope. And as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we will eagerly wait for it. Or we wait eagerly for it. And that hope is available only through Jesus Christ. And from that moment, I surrendered my will to the Lord and put my faith in Christ alone. I turned from my sin and desperately sought the Lord's forgiveness, that only His righteousness could save me from the penalty that I rightly deserve, which I am only pardoned from through Christ's substitutional sacrifice and God's grace. And since coming to Christ, it's been night and day. My life has been transformed, and I've fully come to realize Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. And I seek Him more every day. I thirst for His word, fellowship with my fellow believers, and deep study into His words so that I know God and Christ even more. And I'm truly blessed that the Lord's led me to this day to be baptized by His obedience.
Well, Eric, it is certainly an amazing providence, the purse phone call, I have to say. That is a remarkable, remarkable providence of God. But we rejoice that there was somebody in your life who shared Christ with you and who was patient and prayed, and the Lord has brought you to this point. But most of all, we're grateful that the Lord brought you to Himself, that He has given you a love for Him, that He has caused you to acknowledge Him as your only Lord, your only Savior. Because of your clear testimony of faith in Christ and in Him alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Evan William Sikorsky. I was born in a Christian home and was taught the gospel by my Christian parents from the beginning of my life. According to the world standards, I was considered a good person, and I even believed I was a good person. I accepted God's existence, but I didn't heed His calling because I loved my sin, and I didn't want to be ashamed of it. I cultivated the belief that I was good enough without God. Though I considered myself a righteous deist, I was far from being a Christian, but through the constant chastisement of my parents and by God's divine providence, I was being guided down a path towards recognition of my sinful nature. My eyes were open while reading through 1 Corinthians from my philosophy and literature workbook, Worldviews Part 2, The Grandeur of Christianity. I had been struggling with temptation all my life, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 offered me salvation from my sin, saying, "No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. But with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." I realized how faithful God has been to me. Thereafter, I accepted the reality of my sin and that Jesus, God's only Son, died on a cross for a wretched sinner like me. Colossians 1:21-23 states, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." Initially, my faith was weak and unstable. God has constantly set me straight through His providence, but now I have a firm foundation on which to build my faith. Though not instantaneous, my life has taken a drastic turn towards God. Although I am ashamed of my sins, God gives me comfort through His word. Philippians 3:13b-14. "But one thing I do, forgetting those which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead, I press forward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." My life is now set on a linear path towards God and His glorification. My relationship with God has been strengthened through spending time in prayer and God's word, but I have also had to lay aside many distractions to come closer to God. From reading God's word, I have concluded now is the time to be baptized. As Acts 22:16 says, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So now I stand before this assembly to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Great is the Lord our God.
Evan, thank you for your testimony. And, you know, we rejoice in all of the tools God uses in our lives to bring us to himself, including faithful parents who sometimes make life uncomfortable and confront us for our sin, the Holy Spirit who brings the weight of Scripture to bear in our lives, rebukes our consciences, and reminds us in the small hours of the night that we need a Savior, and the truth even in school, as you came across the truth and the Lord used that in your life. And so we're so grateful for those things and grateful that through those things the Lord has brought you to himself. Because you have acknowledged your sinfulness before God, your complete inability to do anything that would please him, and that Christ is your only hope, his death for your sins, the only way you can know God, and you have put your faith and trust in him. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Molly Chubb, and I have come to share my testimony. My life before Christ was all about me. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I was a selfish, disobedient, and lying child. My need for salvation was great. I was born in a Christian home who raised me up in the church. Being in church, I knew that Christ died for my sins because this is what they taught each Sunday. I also knew that I did bad things. Because when I lied, disobeyed, or hit my sister, I was sent back to the bathroom to receive spankings for what I did. And each time when I went to the bathroom, my mom would go over what I did wrong and quote to me Genesis 4:7. Sin is knocking at your door. It's desires for you, but you must master it. I understood all these things, but it never clicked, as I still didn't understand my depravity and my need for a Savior. I was young when I asked Jesus into my heart. I remember the day. I had been thinking about what my parents and Sunday school teachers had talked about as hell being a bad place where sinners went. I was very troubled by this, and I walked into the room where my mother was, and I talked to her about my trouble and how I could get to heaven. That day I was redeemed. I now understood Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become righteousness of God in him. Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, a person confesses, resulting in salvation. I asked Jesus into my heart when I was young, but over the years, I could really see a change in my ways. I had a desire to be kind to others and be a servant to them. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. In the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. This summarizes my life since coming to Christ. Ways I cultivate my walk is I read my Bible, go to Bible study, serve in church, and listen to the notes, take notes, so that I can apply what I learned in my life. Before being baptized, I want to say one last thing. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating through us, we beg you, on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is why I have come to be baptized, to obey my Lord, and to follow in his example.
Molly, thank you for your clear testimony of faith in Christ, because you not only have come to understand the gospel that God made Christ on the cross to be sin for us, that is, he credited our sins to Christ, and on the cross he treated Jesus as if he had lived your life. And you have put your faith in that act of redemption, Christ as your only hope. It is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Howard Crump. And for the past 67 years, I have been bountifully blessed. As an adult, I've had success in virtually all aspects of my life. Whether it be in the Army or in the business world, the promotions, recognition, and financial rewards came frequently. And I proudly gave myself full credit for all of that. I have an amazing wife and two wonderful sons. However, I generally did not appreciate or acknowledge their numerous contributions and the sacrifices my family had continually made in my behalf, or the gifts that God had blessed me with and received from God, who makes all things possible. I took God and my family for granted. Early retirement came for me in 2006. We continued to enjoy the lifestyle that many would consider the American dream. Since retiring, I have filled my life with volunteer activities and enjoyable hobbies. But something was missing. There was a void, an emptiness in my life that I could not explain. When we moved to South Lake to be closer to family, we were introduced to Countryside Bible Church and Pastor Tom Pennington. While I had earlier made a profession of faith, my understanding of what constituted a real walk with Christ was lacking. Even though we had attended numerous mainstream churches in my life, Pastor Tom, along with Brian Chandler and Dwight Custis, two elders here at Countryside who very ably teach our Sunday school class, introduced me to the Bible and God's Word in a way that I had just never before experienced. Tom Pennington and Dwight Custis took their time to help me sort through several concerns and misunderstandings. A spark was lit in me to search further and see more knowledge about God and Jesus Christ. Even though I am a neophyte on God's Word and the Bible, my understanding and faith are greater than ever before. I now understand my natural depravity and my salvation through Jesus Christ alone. I have repented of my sins and placed my faith in Christ. A foundational Bible verse that has great meaning to me is Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Being in Christ, I come to this spot this evening to be baptized.
Howard, thank you so much for your testimony, for sharing the truth with us. As you were sharing your testimony, I couldn't help but think about even the message this morning, that the Holy Spirit has produced a radical change in your thinking in those areas. About yourself, you have come to understand your own depravity, your own need for a Savior. You've also come to see the beauty and value of Jesus Christ as the perfect one who was both God and man, who offered himself for you. And the verses you just read make it clear that you've also come to understand the truth about salvation, that it's only by grace, it's only by God reaching into our lives and giving us what we don't deserve, that we can be right with him. Because your faith is in Jesus Christ and in him alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Sylvia Crump. Although I grew up attending the Christian church, I always felt there was more. Jesus was rarely talked about except at Christmas and Easter. Before I attended a Bible church, I believed Jesus was the lesser version of God. What I now know is that Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity. Before receiving Jesus, I hurt many people through my false pride, accompanied by a judgmental and critical spirit. I received my salvation while attending a small group Bible study. Through faith and repentance, my life has gone from black and white to color. It says in Matthew 9:13, "But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but the sinners. Since coming to Christ, I receive peace, joy, and love, unlike I have ever known before. I spend time daily with God in prayer. I'm learning to listen and not do all the talking. God is growing me as I attend church services and Bible studies regularly. A Bible verse that means a lot to me in my Christian life is Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Thank you.
Sylvia, thank you for your testimony. If it wasn't clear to you, Sylvia is Howard, who was just baptized, wife. So they're being baptized together tonight. We thank God for God's work in their lives and how he has brought them to himself. Because you understand that you are a sinner whom Christ came to call, and because you have responded to the gospel, the good news, and you have repented of your sins, and you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone, in his perfect life, in his substitutionary death, and in his resurrection. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Priscilla Johnston, and I'm here to share my testimony with you tonight. I was raised in a Christian home and studied and memorized scripture and biblical truth from a young age. At age 7, I made a profession of faith, and I was baptized a few months later. And my motivation for salvation at that time was a genuine terror of hell. As I grew older, the truth that I was still unregenerate and became more obvious because I was enslaved to my sin and plagued by guilt. As an unbeliever, I understood the pain and guilt of sin, but I could not force my desires to change so that I hated sin itself. I was caught in a vicious cycle of sin, guilt that resulted from my sin, resolving to do better, even trying to do good works to purge myself of guilt, and then starting all over again by plunging back into sin. As a result of my entanglement with sin, I gradually began over the years to doubt my salvation, and rightfully so. My sophomore year of high school, God began to show me that I hated guilt, not sin, and that I loved the benefits of salvation, but not the Savior. He opened my eyes to see that every good thing I did was just an effort to feel good before I plunged back into the guilt of sin. I began to understand that I was still attempting to earn my salvation and please God through my good works, and deliberately rebelling against his merciful and righteous provision in Christ. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment." I begin to understand that everything I did, either sin or what I considered a good work, were equally filthy and unrighteous in God's sight, because I pursued righteousness, as the Apostle Paul described unregenerate Israel in Romans 9. Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. I was pursuing righteousness through good works. I was pursuing a cure for sin and guilt through more sin and guilt, my own unrighteous, unrepentant good deeds. And as God began to reveal to me, my unrepentant and righteous good deeds can't save me, because God and God alone is perfectly holy. Gradually, as God began to show me scriptural truths, I began to intellectually understand the truths of the gospel, but I was still helpless to save myself or to will myself to trust in Christ's righteous sacrifice alone and not on my attempts at righteousness. Instead, God intervened and, by an act of his eternal will, changed my will to stop resisting him and gave me a new heart that finally loved him and hated sin. Romans 4:5 says, "But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." In the words of the Apostle Thomas, I could finally say, as Thomas said when he saw the resurrected Lord and saw that he indeed had been resurrected, "My Lord and my God." Before I had believed that Jesus was God, I'd believed that he was born of a virgin, all of the facts that you're supposed to believe about him, according to Scripture, to be saved, but he was not my Lord. After God broke my bonds to sin, I walked away from many previous sin patterns. And now when I do sin, the Holy Spirit convicts me of sin and gives me grace to not only stop sinning, but to walk in paths of righteousness. Now I can read and understand Scripture. The more I learn, the more I see that even all of my good works as a believer are not my proof to God or to myself or to anyone else that I'm saved. Instead, just as Jesus healed the paralytic to prove that he had the authority to forgive sins, the works of believers in Christ are God's proof to us that he really did forgive and pardon all of our sins. So I'm here tonight to be baptized as a public testimony to what God has worked in me internally.
Priscilla, thank you for your clear testimony. We really rejoice and thank God with you for how he brought you out of that hopeless bog of self-examination and self-justification, really, and instead brought you to see the truth of the gospel, that it's not him who works, but it's him who believes in the one who declares righteous the ungodly by faith is the one who'll be right with God. Because you have understood the truth of the gospel, that you are justified by faith alone. You are made right with God by faith alone because of the work of Christ. And your confidence is in him. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Travis Hostetler. I grew up in the church, and I remember in fourth grade asking Jesus into my heart at my Christian elementary school. It's very clear to me now I had no idea what that actually meant. My life had been filled with years of Sunday mornings at church, going not out of desire, but out of a legalistic mindset that had me believing that I believed in God. I was a good person. Therefore, I surely was saved. I can remember asking God over and over, God, forgive me of my sins. In high school and college, I drifted farther and farther away from Christ. During those years, I was much more concerned with what was pleasing to me versus what was pleasing to him. I met my wife in college, and we were married soon after. About 3 years ago, when she became a true believer, it was very apparent to me that I was not. She was going through and experiencing things I clearly never had, but I still was holding on to my sin. There were certain sins that I was just not willing to give up, and this led to an unwanted place of separation and brokenness in my life and in our marriage. For the first time in my life, it was overwhelmingly clear that my life was hopeless without the intervention of Jesus Christ. I knew that I could never have any power over my own sin. But through him, I had hope. I could feel the weight of my sin, and it felt like my eyes were being opened to see the truth in the gospel so clearly for the first time. On July 21st, 2013, I repented of my sin and gave my life up to Christ, no longer living for me, but living for him. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Since that time, I have had a new passion and drive to learn and worship Christ. The words in Scripture and songs have come to life and have new meaning. I can now be the spiritual leader of my home God has called me to be. Galatians 5:16-17 says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. I now have and currently am reevaluating everything in my life. What used to be at the forefront of my life has now been all but eliminated. TV, certain music, work, etc. are just not that important to me anymore. My priorities have completely changed now. Learning about and worshiping God fills much of my free time. I thank God for the grace he has shown me, the godly wife he has provided me, and all the other countless blessings he has provided. I will never take any of that for granted ever again. My prayer today is, God, help me be more like you and less like me. And this is what's led me to be baptized tonight.
Travis, thank you so much for your clear testimony of faith in Christ. The Lord has to sometimes show us ourselves before we're really ready to see him and turn to him. Because he has shown you your own heart and you have hated your sin, because you have seen Christ in the gospel and he's made that attractive and beautiful to you. Because you put your trust and your confidence in Christ alone is the only way to deal with your sin, both for forgiveness and for sanctification. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? I know those of you in Christ, you hear those testimonies and you just rejoice, because while the storyline is a little different, the basic content is the same. You can trace God's hand in your own life through each of these testimonies. I hope you will choose one or two of them, maybe more, and remember them in the weeks ahead. And for those of you who may be here tonight, and I'm sure there are some in a crowd this size, maybe you've never come to the place of genuinely acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You can do that tonight, and God will change you in the same way he has changed each of these. I trust that he will do that even before your head hits the pillow tonight. Only he can produce that change. But we pray that he will. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the gospel that we have heard so clearly in each of these testimonies tonight. Lord, you are good, and you have made us and given us life, and you have given us great blessings in this life. But Father, each of us, like these whom shared their testimonies tonight, have rebelled and sinned against you. We have chosen our own way. But Father, we thank you that while our sin deserves your judgment and your justice and eternal punishment in a place that Jesus taught us to call hell, Father, we thank you that because you are gracious and loving and merciful, we're so thankful, Father, that you sent your Son, your only Son, into this world as one of us to live a perfect life and then to die on the cross as the substitute in the place of every person who would ever believe in him, fully satisfying, O God, your justice. Thank you that you raised him from the dead on the third day, proving that you had accepted his sacrifice and that one day he will come back for his own. But Father, I pray that you would encourage all of us here who have put our trust in him, who have repented of our sins and acknowledged him as Lord and Savior, confessed him as Lord, even as these have done tonight, not merely with our words, but with our hearts, with our souls. And I pray as well, Father, for those who are here tonight who have never done that. May you cause the light to shine in their hearts. May they see themselves as you see them. May they see Christ as he really is. And may they understand the only way is through the life and death of Christ to be right with you. Lord, thank you for each of these tonight. We pray for them. We pray for Eric and Evan, for Molly and for Howard and Sylvia, for Priscilla, for Travis. Father, each of their stories and the path is unique, but you have drawn them to yourself. And Lord, we pray that you would continue the work in them that you have begun. May they grow in the knowledge of their Lord Jesus Christ. May they mature in their faith. And Father, I pray that you will, as you promised, complete what you have begun. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.